Hey, we're live. Welcome. Woo. Welcome to Crippled System, episode 142.
End of the world.
We're late.
Yes. Yes, we are.
The official sponsor of all Oregon militias.
Yeah.
Are you sure it's a militia?
Well, they're white people, so it's a militia.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. It's like, we're not terrorists. Like, yes, you are. I'm sorry, are you an armed group seizing control of a government?
Could you imagine if 150 Muslims took over a government building anywhere? Can you imagine the complete shitstorm? Like, everyone at Fox News would have they would have died of their erections.
I love when black people are killed by a cop. It's like, well, they should have listened to authorities. And then when ranchers have an armed standoff with the FBI, well, they're just Americans protecting their rights. It's like, okay. Racists.
Yeah, I was, when I first heard about the news on it, I thought, like, holy shit, that's some big news about it. So I went to like CNN, and they had nothing on it.
Yeah,
CNN or MSNBC. I found it odd that the breaker of the news of that was like Reddit. Like, really?
They should all be hanged for treason.
Are you fucking kidding me? Hey, I'm Andy.
And I'm Brian.
I'm Nathan.
Brian.
Yay! There's a lot of energy in this new year.
Energy!
Woohoo!
Tum Tum, I went to Samba's for brunch.
That was a long time ago.
Why didn't you invite others?
I would not have gone.
I would not have gone.
There you go. See, no, I had a friend visiting, and we went to Samba's, and we ate, and it was nummy.
Your friend from yesterday, when you were gaming?
Yeah.
Cool.
We played Axis Allies 1914. I won. I'm technically he rubbed it in with an anecdote. I'm technically undefeated against him because the one time he was annihilating me, and I think it might have been revised. We wanted to go, like, we were running late to go to see a movie or whatever, and he's like, "All right, Nate, we have to go. I obviously have you beaten." And I'm like, "No, we're playing this out, or you're conceding." And I forced him to concede, so I'm still undefeated because that's the kind of douche I am.
2-0.
No. Speaking of
fuckload of Axis and Allies.
Speaking of running into movies, you can't do that anymore in our town.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's why I didn't see Star Wars right away.
Well, I also ranted about it yesterday too.
Yeah, Facebook. Ryan had a nice, Facebook.
Yeah,
about
reserve seatings. I mean, I like reserve seatings in the fact that if I go pick up my mom, I'm gonna go see a movie. I can go to the theater. I can say, hey, I'm gonna go see this movie with my mom. I can buy the tickets, and because with her disability, I can just get there. There's no wait, having to rush. We can still get our seats, and it's simple. But it kills the, hey, I have a movie starts in half an hour. I'm bored. I'm gonna go see a movie because all the seats are taken.
Right.
So it's a very double-edged sword. There's positives and negatives. It just kills your random movie viewing. You have to plan ahead for all your movie viewing in Madison because everything is going to assigned seatings.
Jim and I went to go see Star Wars Saturday morning at 8:45. So you figure 8:45 on a Saturday morning, you wouldn't have any much troubles. We showed up about 15 minutes before the movie was going to start, but the only seats that were available were like neck-cranking seats up in the front.
Yep.
Well, then if you have two friends who are going, if one of them doesn't buy the tickets, then you risk not sitting together, and it's like, it's all these things. Like,
well, and like you said, like if the four of us all each bought one ticket, even if it's for a movie a week from now, like we have to make sure we get seats next to each other unless one person buys all four and the other people give them cash. And
Yeah.
And sometimes you do that and like your coworker gives you cash, so you buy two tickets, and then your wife finds two tickets to a movie in your pocket when she does laundry, and she's like, "Who did you go to the movies with?" And you're like, "Some girl from work." And they're like, "Why did you buy tickets?" And then it's a terrible, terrible thing. Hypothetically.
Nathan calls that Tuesday.
It was actually Wednesday because I went on Tuesday.
But yeah, it's a challenge. I find it obnoxious. I mean, I love the theaters have gone to the less seats, but more comfortable recliners, and it's nice and great. And like a lot of the Marcus theaters are going to more of the larger screens too. Like the, you know,
and they've got all recliners now. And
some Prairies 100% ultra screens are bigger. I mean, it's all, you know, so it's, but the spontaneous movie going, which I do quite a bit, is now nearly impossible. Unless the movie's been in the theater for a few weeks, and obviously it won't be a big rush, but I wanted to see things that have only been out for the last 2 weeks, so it's just impossible to see anything.
Well,
I mean, and I'm not going to go and sit in the front row or the very, you know, along the wall or in the hallway.
I think row 4 is where I cut it off.
Yeah,
there's anything like there's before a, there is
there's
is
that break good. In the middle where the aisle is, and then past that I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was like there's the front three and then the break.
Yeah, I went middle-ish and give me 6 to 8 rolls in the middle, and that was my sweet spot. But
I also don't know if I'm a super big fan of the recliner thing. I was just like, maybe this is just me being overly like...
It's you being overly whatever you want
to say. Yeah, whatever. But I was thinking too much about it, and I was like, man, I'm like reclined watching this movie. If somebody just decided to come in here and shoot the place up, I'd be fucked. Because I'm not getting up from my like relaxed position. Like, you got to push the button to get the fucking seat down, and you got nothing to hide in front of.
Like, if you were sitting upright, you were going to Chuck Norris the shit out of that situation.
Hey, this fat man's got moves.
That's really what the breaking point was. Like, you were Captain America if your 90-degree bend was on, but once you're laying down, you're helpless.
Well, the thing is, though, is like, yeah, you kind of are, because you can't push it down with your legs. You can't push it down with your legs.
Yeah,
you have to push the stupid button.
What's annoying is sometimes I like to put my arms on my sides, and then I always hit that fucking button too. Mm-hmm.
So don't recline.
Yeah,
but the if you sit with your significant other or a friend, they when one goes up, the other one has.
No, they don't.
I thought that the
no,
one.
They're no, individual. It's completely individual.
Never mind. They are.
Yeah,
because I remember Amanda figured it out before I did.
That wait.
To the shock of nobody.
How were you accidentally both reclining? Like,
no, it was me just not remembering it right. So,
oh, okay.
She had figured it out first, and that's the only reason why I remembered that they didn't go up at the
same time. So, like, the first time, your first experience in this situation is both of you sat down, both of you reclined at the same time.
And a gunman came into the theater, and he couldn't save himself.
Yeah. Well, then, like, we were also, like, at that break point where there was, like, just a safety rail in front of us, and I was like, I have no cover. This is terrible.
Okay. You had cover. Amanda was right there.
It's a shame when you're in a public place, you're thinking about your safe defense from the masked gunman who's going to come get you eventually.
Excuse you, they are not masked in
math.
Theater. Oh, mass. Mass, yes. I thought you said mask.
No, man. No,
usually. No, masked gunman. That's fine.
Yeah, it's like, I'll go to this place, but I had multiple friends like, yeah, I'm not going to see Star Wars open weekend, because if I was a crazy person, that'd be the prime time to go kill people in a theater. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just dumb that that's a thing that comes in a head now as a thing to do.
But think of how many movies since Batman...
Yeah,
Batman came out.
It's still typically a train wreck.
It happened at Trainwreck.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Although, to be fair, those were people seeing an Amy Schumer movie, so they deserved it.
Hey, that's first of all, you're making a joke, but she's great.
Yeah, I've heard she's a terrible person though. But
I don't care; she's funny,
right?
Tom Cruise is a terrible person. I love his movies still.
Who?
Tom Cruise. He's a terrible person, but I still like his movies.
Yeah,
Pip likes Tales from the Borderlands.
That's good.
That's because Tales from Borderlands is good.
I mentioned this to him, and you have mentioned on Facebook. I finished only the first four chapters, but the Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. How far have you finished?
I finished the whole thing.
So don't spoil anything.
I will make sure to spoil it.
The first four chapters in all the Telltale games, obviously it's story based, and it's always choice A, choice B. Walking Dead, the big thing is who lives and dies, which is kind of rough. And Telltale games is kind of just your answers are which answer is cocky and funny to you. But Game of Thrones is like which witty would be raped. It's like it's just every option in game. I have played 5 Telltale games. I have never paused the game more to walk away from a choice than in a Game of Thrones game because
this is your fifth one.
I've played both Walking Deads. I've played Wolf Among Us and
Tales from the Borderlands. Yeah, so
this is the fifth. I have had to pause this game more than any of their other games because the two choices are always just fucking atrocious and bad for me. And I'm like, oh my god, I can't fucking deal with these choices. And no one, it's so Game of Thrones because everything is miserable and terrible and awful, and it's just awful, and it's great, but it's just it's the most emotional wreck.
I think the first experience I had with a game where you could like kind of dictate what happens in it by what you say was Dragon Age, and then that one there was like the obvious good answer and the obvious bad answer, and then the meh, let's just forward the storyline answer. Yeah. But in this one, it really is just like, do I want you to stick a plunger up my ass or your 1987 baseball trophy?
Yeah.
Like, there's really no...
I'd go with the plunger.
I probably would, too. But it depends on which direction.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And you know, one of your choices is going to kill some loved one of the character in some awful way. And It's just
is this one one character?
No, it's like Game of Thrones. You kind of take you're the Forrester family, so you're every chapter you're a character of the Wall, a character in King's Landing, a king across the sea.
Because I was thinking with Borderlands, and for anybody who hasn't played it and is going to finally play it now that Pip says it's good.
Yeah, finally we got the Pip
seal
of approval.
But he likes us, so
yeah, I'm on part one.
Taste. I think it would be kind of neat to play that as a two player game. And have, you know, you just sit there together and
flop back and forth.
Have one person play Reese and one person play
For that, but Game of Thrones, I think like you're five characters, or
six. Yeah. Too many then, yeah. But I know the Muse guys talked about playing Until Dawn that way.
Yeah.
Like party mode with...
because one person controlled it, and he just made... they did pass it around for the different people or whatever.
Yeah, it'd probably be easier to pass it around in Game of Thrones, just because in Until Dawn, like, there can be points where you go, like, a good half hour as the same person, or at least 20 minutes. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but in Game of Thrones, it's just like I'd make some stupid choice and I'd be like, what the fuck happens to me now? And then I'd fade away to another character and it'd be such a cock tease. Yeah. I just wanted to figure out.
It gives you two choices, you know they're both awful, and it's like, okay, and then it's like, you know, at some point, both choices are just going to come back on you.
Exactly.
So fucking hard.
I don't even know if there's a way to make it so that everybody lives at the end. I just don't.
It's Game of Thrones. Of course there isn't.
They die along the way. It's like, oh my God, it's the worst. It's great, but man, I can't play those chapters back to back. I have to play a chapter, wait a few days. That's like, I can't handle the emotions of the awfulness that just happened.
I kind of feel weird having started the Game of Thrones Telltale game first, because now that I've gone to Tales from the Borderlands, it just doesn't have the same impact that one did.
Tales of the Borderlands to me had the least impact in choices. There's actually some pretty big diverse choices, because in some of the games, like chapter 3 or 4, sections of the game is completely different. There's different characters that are involved based on your choices, but it's not quite as abysmal, awful decisions you're making, but there are radically different things occurring based on your choices, which is still cool.
And like I said, when we talked about the Tales from the Borderlands, I actually liked the fact that it was less impactful, not impactful from gameplay, but as far as emotionally devastating choices, because it freed me to care less, and then I felt like I played it more naturally.
Yeah.
Whereas in the game, now I haven't played the Game of Thrones, but in The Walking Dead, I was always mindful of this is the correct choice and this is the shithead choice. Whereas in Borderlands, I'm like, man, let's see what happens. You know, it made me, I actually think I was more true to my inner person playing Borderlands, because I wasn't thinking about what I was supposed to do.
Although I'm always, in the Game of Thrones, I'm always mean to one particular person whenever I have a choice, and I'm always with one of the characters, like, you know what? And this family member is already fucked. I've already made like 8 bad choices, so I'm just going to see how far down the rabbit hole I can go, because I've already gone down the rabbit hole in King's Landing, so I'm just going to keep burying that fucking needle, because nothing's going to end well there, so I'm just going to keep fucking...
Well, Game of Thrones. Walking Dead Season 1 was that way, but it was, you know, with Clementine. I mean, the whole point of Walking Dead Season 1 was be nice to Clementine.
Yeah.
Like, nothing else mattered.
Mm-hmm. I feel the other thing about Game of Thrones, when you're talking about being the nice person or being your internal self, I feel like Game of Thrones warped me into a worse person.
Yeah.
Because I got to this point where I'm just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to do this. Fuck that bitch. And just like bury, like you said, you're just like kicking dirt on people after you've pushed them onto the ground. Like you have to be unrelenting in that game. If you give a little bit, things will bite you in the ass.
So badly.
I do like the little, like, how many percentage of people should pick this choice or whatever.
That's it of all the games.
Yeah, that's really, it's really interesting to see like what the rest of the world did in your stead.
Yeah, people should always play those Telltale games. I love them. Jim, of course, did not like Tales of the Borderlands.
No, he didn't.
He did not, what?
Jim did not like Tales of the Borderlands.
Yeah, he also didn't like John Wick or...
I was going to see movies on Saturday. I'm like,
he did not like Tales of the Borderlands.
I was just bored to read. I was like, what?
Did he play the whole thing?
No. He played like half a chapter when I got bored.
Like, the closest I've come to... Let me start this again. We oftentimes, all of us, even those that aren't particularly nerdy, think about cosplay. You know, like what cool characters might it be kind of cool to dress up as? Even if you never do, in the back of your head, you have your plan B. You know.
I'm with you.
The closest I've ever been to almost saying, fuck it, I'm going to like find the materials and make a costume is I was going to make the hostage taker from Tales from the Borderlands that they're telling the story to.
Oh, okay. Because
that guy was cool.
Yeah.
The hostage taker, isn't that Zero?
The guy with like the built-in umbrella hat and the one eye that has him that they're telling the story to.
Yeah, he sounds like Zero.
Well, he's got a robotic voice similar to that, but he's much shorter and burlier than Zero. But yeah, it's that same robotic style voice. He's not 7 feet tall and emaciated thin though. guy's cool. I like that guy.
Yeah. I'm actually halfway through the first. I had no idea it was actually it's like 4 hours long per episode.
Yeah, they can drag. You get your money's worth in a Telltale
game. Yeah, I had no idea because I started episode one. I'm like, this is gonna be a nice 20-minute thing. I'm gonna be having fun, and like an hour later, I'm not even into the second story. I'm like, Jesus. So no, I like it. I like it so far. I like the robot.
Oh, Loaderbot?
Loaderbot.
Loaderbot is love. Absolutely. I'm going to name my firstborn child Loaderbot.
I told him self-destruct is my first child.
You son of a bitch, how dare you tell
him self-destruct. It took him a while to forgive me. It was kind of a funny forgiving moment. There's a good bro moment between the two eventually after they settled their differences.
Yeah, but, no. I had him escape, and so the next time I saw him, he was just like, beloved father, I have returned. I'm like, Loaderbot!
No, he was mad at me.
I'd imagine so.
I almost want to take that choice now just to see what the reaction is.
Tactically speaking, he probably should have self-destructed right then. There were lots of bandits there.
I was taking the selfish route.
He just like flew in a circle and then over a hill is basically what he did for me.
I don't know if I'm super yippy about the Batman one that's going to drop later. They were
going to do a Minecraft one too.
I just don't.
Minecraft is. They've started that one already. Like,
There's
a story version.
Do you want mine ore or mine wheat? You pick one, and then the chapter's over.
Based on all of their games being enjoyable, I will probably continue to play every Tales of the or every Telltale game until they show me when that's not enjoyable.
That's why we get Brian into Minecraft. Yeah.
There's no mythos to Minecraft.
I don't disagree. It does seem weird.
There's a survival mode in that.
There's a world built around it. I mean, like, there's a world there, and that's about all they have.
With those weird dick-faced villagers?
Yeah, other than that, you're just skinning a story that's probably stupid with
Minecraft. I mean, I played The Wolf Among Us with no concept of what that was about until I just...
Oh, those comics are so good, though. The
game was really good.
Yeah, you should read the Fables comics. They're good.
Anyway, that was a tangent that came out of nowhere. I blame Pip for mentioning Pip mentioned Tales of the Borderlands. We wanted a Telltale spiel.
Yeah.
So it's all Pip's fault.
Good job, Pip.
We got some more possible snacks from Germany.
Yes.
Sweet.
I love German snacks because I'm German and I like German things.
I've noticed as I'm trying to just not eat as much how much food people give you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I just eat in general. Like wherever I go, people are always like, here, have some of this. I'm like, thank you. It's just amusing to me.
Speaking of spoilers, I saw Star Wars. So can I talk about Star Wars now?
No. We gave that spoilers last week.
Oh, okay.
I don't... hold on.
We can have a 5-minute Nathan rant about Star Wars.
No, I'll just hold... I'll wave my hands the whole time I'm talking. Oh, that doesn't do anything?
Okay, no, so first it says of all, Star Wars spoilers there now.
Chewbacca just walks right the fuck past Princess Leia.
Yeah,
just
there's...
Like, suck it, bitch.
Well, no, he doesn't... She just...
He walks right past her.
She also goes to embrace. Yeah. Embrace.
How much better of a scene would it have been if the two of them embrace and Rey just watches it, like from an outsider's perspective, and sees this emotional moment between two friends? Nope, just fuck you, bitch, and walks past.
What they could have really did is they could have just cut from the scene before when they first arrive there, and she goes to hug, and Chewie just walks by and then hugs Leia.
Yeah,
they could have just cut that part and just placed it in the end there. It felt weird that she went to embrace Rey when she had no idea who Rey was at the time. Unless there's something else in there.
No, but she's stupid.
No, unless there's something else in there from storytelling.
I don't think there is. I think it was just Rey's the main character of this movie, so the main character has to interact. They can't have two side characters interact with each other.
I definitely do agree. And I didn't think about it at the time, but someone pointed it out later, and I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, it's one of the things that I would agree is a flaw, but if not, it doesn't really ruin my value of the movie, but...
No.
Another one is Spinny Taser Club Stormtrooper.
People love the fuck out of that guy.
They love the fuck about that guy, but the thing that would have made that much better is if instead of him, that was Captain Phasma.
Yes.
Yes,
that would have been... The entire fight scene was Gwendolyn Christie beating the living shit out of Finn.
Yeah. That she should have... Which we did talk about last time, but she should have had more of a role.
Yeah, more. I was saying she should have more, and then I saw somewhere else somebody said this should have been Phasma. I was like, oh my god, you're right.
Yep.
Like, the movie's 1,000 times better if that scene is is between Finn and the captain, and she beats the shit out of him, and then she gets stunned, or something.
Yeah,
you know, and then she can come back next movie or whatever, and then just have a random schmuck put down the shield. Like,
although the little cult thing falling a building on this guy amuses me a little bit. So as a secondary thing, it's okay, but that would have been a better choice. But I've seen a lot of funny videos because of it, the way they did it.
And then the movie should have ended when the Millennium Falcon took off from the Rebel planet at the end.
Hey.
She goes off, and then the movie ends.
Yeah, that would have been fine.
I understand they wanted Skywalker in the movie. You can't have a Star Wars movie without Mark Hamill. I get it, except that was just dumb.
He got paid $1 million for that.
It felt like that should have been the opening sequence for the next movie.
Yes.
In my second viewing...
It probably will be kind of ish.
Probably. My second viewing of the film, that basically made me feel like, it felt like it should have ended by now.
Yeah.
I'm curious how the fuck they found that lightsaber, though.
Yeah, because that's the one that fell off his hand at Cloud City, so they found it somewhere. Because wasn't that planet a gas giant?
I believe
that's
so.
What Cloud City was doing, was just mining the gas. So there's no even solid planet for it to have landed on. Yeah. Like someone went into the crushing depths of this giant space cloud.
Well, it went flying. I mean, he fell down a thing, too. Like, so
it's possible it might have been picked up by something else as it was falling down.
Yeah, in the extended universe, they find his hand like in a vent, and they actually clone him from it. And
His
name Luuk with a double U, because all the clones had a random double letter in the extended universe.
Did you see there's a men's group that's all trying to like be bragging about how they're affecting the movie for making money and all this stuff? There's all this like nonsense.
Those people are stupid. Yes, and I hope they all die.
Is it that same militia that's in Oregon?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it seems like they'd be the same
people who hated Mad Max, probably.
Yeah. It is the same men's group who hated Mad Max. They're mad about this. How dare women have rights and are filmed?
And then a good thing is Kylo Ren was the most perfectly handled character I've seen in a long, long time in cinema. Because that was brilliant. If the filmmakers had tried to give us Darth Vader, they would have failed. So instead, they gave us a character that was trying to be Darth Vader and failing. And that was a brilliant decision.
But still powerful.
But they knew they couldn't possibly make somebody better than Darth Vader.
Yeah.
You just fucking can't. And so instead of trying, they give it something like, this guy's really cool. We know he's not better than Darth Vader. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
It's like, well done.
And then I mentioned last time, like the main actors are so good in this role.
Yeah, I
thought you did it perfectly. I thought we got to finally see what the 20 years in between episode 3 and 4 would have been like.
Yeah,
with Vader throwing tantrums at the very beginning. I'm sure he would have been a little emo.
I was mad that the film did not have Wedge Antilles in it. Wedge Antilles is the fucking bomb. There are 8 characters. 8. That are in the original 3 films, all 3 of them.
Yeah.
Luke, Leia, Han, Chewie, C-3PO, R2-D2, Darth Vader, and Wedge fucking Antilles.
Yeah, which is a thing.
He's my favorite character in the entire Star Wars mythos. I was really mad he was in there.
You forgot.
Poe Dameron could have.
Forgot one.
No, I didn't.
Boba Fett.
It's not in all 3 of them.
He is, actually.
He's not in New Hope if you don't see the fucking bastardized edited one, so fuck you.
Well, he's just staring at the camera for no apparent reason.
Steps on Jabba's ass and gets away with it. Fuck.
I like how all the extra shots of Boba Fett are just him looking at the camera doing something, like he's wooing the ladies, or he's just like.
His voice actor died like yesterday, I think.
The original.
But I was mad that he wasn't in there because like they could have had him like Poe Dameron originally died when the TIE fighter sank. They were going to kill his character off there and not bring him back. And I was thinking that would have been a perfect way to have Wedge in the story. Like have that be Wedge, and you know you can even give him his send off and have him die there or not, whatever. But Wedge could have been in that movie because I fucking love Wedge. And then I went from mad to furious when I found out the reason Wedge wasn't in it was because the actor who played him turned him down. He said he would be bored being in another Star Wars
movie. Yeah.
Fuck you.
Like, he's doing anything with his time.
Actually, his IMDb, he does like 50 things a year. Like,
but he's not big things. He's not little things.
Unless you're British. I think he's in like 12 TV shows at any given time.
He's in a lot of stuff. I looked him up, too, after I saw he was not in it, too. I was like, oh.
Still, man, how do you turn out being in Star Wars?
They also missed a great opportunity, too, to make Matt Parkman just give his jersey or his suit just say Porkins. On it, because he would have been complete as like a Porkins Jr.
Yeah,
as like a tail, you know, the Porkins son.
Yeah.
Any more Star Wars comments? We can catch up.
Yeah, can we stop?
No, are you done? I'm okay now.
All right, we're turning this off.
Right now.
Now for some topics of things and stuff.
Well, as a quick one, just because it's like crazy to see what's going on out there in the war machine world in Wisconsin.
Oh, announcements.
There's almost a war machine tournament every single Saturday from 2 weeks from now up until the end of February. It's ridiculous. Like Waukesha is having one soon. Green Bay is having one. Baraboo's having one. Madison's having one. Oshkosh is going to fit one in there somewhere. If you are a Wisconsin player and you don't think you ever have time to get to a tournament, you should be able to get one within at least the next few months. Just because there's so many. It's crazy.
Cool.
It's a renaissance. It's War Machine Renaissance.
Huzzah! Welcome to the Renaissance Festival!
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only want you to talk like Sir Hamlock during during all War Machine games.
Who is black?
Yeah, so?
So, was it Jim? Who was it? There was this big argument our group had when we were playing Borderlands 2, and I insisted that Sir Hamlock was black, and half of you guys were saying he was just really tan.
He's British.
He can be black and British. They exist. Look at Idris Elba.
Yeah, but he's more black than British.
There's a Venn diagram of black and British, and they're in various
spots. I mean, he's definitely more British and Luther.
Yeah.
But he's less black. He's more black when he played the Gwen character in that...
Heimdall?
No, the HBO show.
When he was the doctor?
No, I can't even think of it. The Wire.
Yeah.
He was more black than British.
He was in The Wire?
Yeah, he's an amazing character.
I know, I was joking.
What's The Wire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, I've never seen it.
Well, you should. It's on Amazon Prime viewing thing stream.
I am catching up on all other things I was supposed to catch up on. I am 2 episodes away from finishing up Longmire.
Nice.
Which I dropped off at the worst possible episode.
You probably did if you... I watched all of Legends on HBO with Sean Bean.
How was that?
It's really good.
I started watching it.
When Sean Bean's character gets to live longer than a little while, and he gets to like be an entire season of a show, it's pretty cool.
Does he die in the first season?
No. When they cast Sean Bean as Ned Stark, I laughed and laughed and laughed.
Everyone laughed. Hey, George Martin has just said this weekend he's not going to have his books done for a while.
Yeah, what a surprise. No, I totally thought those were coming out next Tuesday.
Yeah, everyone was shocked. I love now it's not even like a news story right now. It's like, oh yeah, of course, obviously. Like the news will be he's actually ready to go. No one will believe it.
Yeah.
He said he's very busy because he keeps getting invited to things, and if he's gonna go.
Turn the invitation down, no. You useless fat fucker.
He's like, if someone wants me on their show, I would never turn that down because I need attention.
Wait, what? You can't invite him.
Yeah. He'll get him on the podcast.
Somebody else could invite him, but I don't think Brian could.
Brian sent him gifts.
Yeah, I'm the only person in this room who sent them items.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. Pip wants to talk about something, and I think it was a topic we were going to talk about.
So, well, we are now done with announcements. Basically, in Wisconsin, there's events for the next 2 months.
Yeah, it's probably going to be 3 with the league coming out where that's got the special units this time.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure really if what you want to talk about or I want to talk about it should be first or second because it's kind of amusing to me of the topic ideas. Say what your topic is first.
I wanted to talk about the massive bandwagon of War Machine is stagnant and how I oppose that thought.
And my announcement is/topic, War Machine is stagnant. I am officially done with War Machine until we get a new edition or maybe massive variety changes. I am out. But I also am out on the secondary state of I don't want to be another negative voice that just rambles on about it because I don't think we need negativity about the game. I think that's not helping anything. I think Privateer Press will make things better, and I think we will see improvements. And I think it requires patience and not complaining. And I'm in a mental state where all I can do, you could state 20 reasons why you think the game's not stagnant, and I could counterpoint all of them, but I don't see the point in doing that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to in your next segment. But for me, the game has lost the enjoyment to play at a competitive level. Playing casually, I still enjoy it, but I can't enjoy a game that I put $5,000, $10,000 in and spend 75% of my vacation time traveling around the Midwest to tournaments when I don't feel at a competitive level it's anything but stagnant and just unfun. So for me, I'm going to wait to a Mark 2.5 or a Mark 3 or some just massive Aratas. Because, I mean, their Aratas are almost like new Mark versions half the time. I mean, the last two Aratas have been ridiculous. So maybe their next Arata or their next Mark 2.5 or their 3 is going to just rehaul things. And I'll like, I can look at it and go, okay, that's kind of cool. Because I've always said, in my opinion, and I said this on episode like one, I would always quit the game when I felt that the variety of models I could choose was just reached a certain percentage mentally. I had, you know, I never had a number and a hard number, but I feel there's my variety of models of play is just too low and I don't get the joy out of that. I think there's lists in every faction that work, but I think it's just so small for some factions that it's just
like if you're using 5% of your faction, then that's just not worth
it. I don't think that's an example. But exactly. I feel the game has reached a point where we've hit whatever that feels comfortable to me. So I am completely out. I mean, I say this and then they'll announce. I mean, and I don't think we'll get anything kind of big announcement to lock and load. Like if they were going to plan a 2.5 or a 3, that would obviously be something saved to lock and load. They wouldn't like just on a Tuesday just say, hey, new version of War Machine coming.
When is lock and load?
It's June.
So, I mean, traditionally they always announce something at TempleCon.
But there is
no TempleCon this year, but there is a Capticon that's going on at the same time, and I don't believe that they have the same relationship as what TempleCon had.
No.
In that regards.
And that's kind of why they pushed their steamroller, I think, because they made those announcements after the TempleCon wasn't going to be a thing. So now they're making their thing yearly based on that. Mm-hmm. And like I said, and there's already too many negative voices out there about the game. And I could easily complain about the game forever, but I just don't see the point to add to more negativity because it's a decent company and they've made good stuff in the past. And I think they're going to get back to where it's good. And I mean, I have to sound like the old aggression, man. I've played this game for 10+ years, and I've played Mark II for the 5+ years, and I've played it competitively for a long part of that, and I've played it competitively pretty hardcore for a lot of that, where, you know, I need to see something different happen to the game to get myself excited about it.
Yeah, and actually, tangential to that, so Darkest Dungeon, which I've talked about before on this and recommended a couple times and everything, that I still play that game a lot and I have a lot of fun, but it was on the Steam sale during the holiday sale, and in the Darkest Dungeon discussion thread on the Something Awful forums, we were talking about how, you know, a whole bunch of negative reviews from people who had bought it and everything, and then there was a whole bunch of negative reviews of people that had like 100 hours of playtime in the game. Yeah. And the reviews were like, you know, I used to like this game, but this and that, and now I don't like it, blah, 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 and this and then and stuff. And some of them, not all of them, but some of them, you can kind of tell, it's hard to tell the difference between this game used to be good, but now it's shit and I hate it, or this game was good and is good, but I've played it to the point of exhaustion and now I no longer enjoy it. And both of those have the same effect, where you do something for a long time and at the end you're like, you know, I just don't enjoy this anymore. But sometimes it's not... You know,
it's not the game.
It's
not
relationship decaying. Yeah. You know, it's like we had good time, but you know what? Yeah. I think I've gotten all of everything I can out of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's that doesn't mean it's suddenly bad.
And that's what that's why even last year I stopped playing for a couple months. I'm like, man, I really feel that I've burnt myself out. Yeah. I think people all the time have taken breaks from War Machine for a couple weeks or a month, because sometimes you're just doing so much. You got to take a step back for a little bit and kind of just cleanse the palate. And I spent over half of last year cleansing my palate, and I still can't get it back to where I want it to be. And I'm fully gonna, I'm sure some of my negative opinions are have some bias in it as well. Like I said, I think it's partially probably me, but I also think the game itself is just like, I've never been happy with Colossals existing, even though my factions can deal with Colossals. I can kill a Colossal with my factions better than anyone else can. But the fact that they exist just is a thing that doesn't make me enjoy the game as much.
Right.
Regardless of their efficiency and their good, and it's just they don't, them existing has taken the fun away from me personally, regardless of mechanics and rules and the fact that I just, you know, I feel that, you know, I feel bad for all the heavy jacks that used to be. I saw before Colossus came out, we started seeing factions using some of the heavies and a variety of
havoc.
They were on the upswing, and then Colossus just smacked the fuck out of all those things, and it was kind of depressing.
Why would you bring a Stormclad when you can bring a Stormwall?
Yeah, like, exactly. As a Signet player, the Stormwall is just better than the heavy. I mean, then, you know, you'd be doing a disservice to your competitive level not to take that thing. So and that shrunk the level down. And now with this, some of the current things, and now with this, the constant spam, and now the armor spam, and then the heavy wound spam. It's just like, you know. But yeah, I mean, if I want to spend, like I said, you know, I've spent $5,000 plus on every army I've played. I've spent for the last 5 years 75% of my vacation time to travel to events. And the thing is, people are great, and some of that. I mean, I'm still gonna go. If I don't touch War Machine for the next year, I'll probably still go to War Machine Weekend and hang out. I mean, Jim went to War Machine Weekend. He doesn't even like the game either. He still goes to War Machine because it's great people. It's fun to hang out with people and see people I've made friends with in the community.
Right.
And that kind of stuff. So that's awesome.
Might run into Hollywood.
Hollywood, yeah. And exactly. And I don't want to turn like Hollywood where everything is the worst thing in the world. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I'm just going to step back because I think there's too many other podcasts who are all just constantly negative whining because there are positives in the game, which I'm sure Brian just wants to dig into because and that's fine, though. It's good. I mean, I'm happy that you can enjoy the game because I used to when I would see a battle and I was playing a game, I would look down and I wouldn't see miniatures. I would see like in my mind, like a battlefield of arrows going this way and this way and possibilities and all these things that exist and what I could do and what could happen. And it was just like this animated thing I could envision on the battlefield. And now I look down and I just see toy figures. And I'm just like, that's just not the right mentality. I just see things that have no value that are just, I could, you know, it's just different. My brain is just not wired for it. So, but I have confidence that, you know, and Privateer Press has always shown their willingness to, make the game better.
So is Wednesday just going to be War of the Ring night now?
I'll play War of the Ring every Wednesday night.
Yes.
See, I like your...
I'll announce I'm quitting War Machine 2.
What?
So,
War of the Ring? War of the Ring night, high five!
Well, so I'm kind of... I've been coming off of a break as well, so I've been starting to play a little bit more, and I've been having fun playing recent times, too. Of course, I haven't been playing any of the high tournament stuff. I haven't really messed around with any of that in a while. And who knows how I'll feel after I face some of the high-end tournament stuff. But I haven't been playing. I've just been in the scene for a while.
Yeah, and you haven't faced. And I used to love like sitting down and saying, okay, now show me the. I'd love to sit down and say, I want to fight it. I want to fight those other factions like Toughless to see how it plays. And now I fight them, and now it was turning into a chore to fight them than it was an experience of trying to find the puzzle. Because a lot of it's like, okay, Ravana 2 is a hotness or whatever. Figuring out the puzzle to beat it was kind of the fun game kind of thing. But I don't know. But yeah, that's me. That's all I got.
I like your perspective of why you feel like I'm going to use the quotes for why War Machine's stagnant.
Yeah.
And I think you're approaching it in a way that a lot of other people who are more like vocal about it aren't. And that's that there's nothing inherently wrong with the game. It's the problem is in your perspective on the game, like Nathan said. And it's not a problem like it's this thing that's wrong with you that needs to be fixed. It's just the way you approach it, and that's fine. But there's a mountain of people out there who don't have that perspective, and I think that the vox of like people screaming from the mountaintops that the game's shit and that you should just go play something else is kind of like rolling through and kind of training people to think that it's like that.
It doesn't help because a lot of them feel like a lot of them are 100% the game is bad and they're right and everything is wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm more of the set that I think the game does have issues and I'm just not willing to deal with the issues, mm-hmm. so I'm taking a step back. But I think, there is a lot of just screaming and everything is bad and they definitely just gets this monstrous role going forward. And whenever your podcast just shoots this negative shit out there, people wander. You see people, you meet someone and they talk about War Machine and they're spouting the exact same verbiage that someone online just said. So you know they're quoting like, you know, random podcasts.
Whoever they heard. Yeah. No, I don't know. I think it's something unique to the War Machine community and maybe it's got something to do with like a lot of our roots being in like the Magic world. But things seem to come out really quick or really rapidly with War Machine. You're always getting like new models or new rules or new spoilers. There's always something out there to tease someone. I can think of right now at least three models that we have seen that we don't have rules for that are still like drumming a little bit of excitement for people. I think everybody dusted off their Manowars like 2 weeks ago. But it's where the fuck was I going?
I don't know. Was it something about Bretonians?
No, it's the way that things move so fast. I think that when we talk about stagnation in the game, we've hit an interesting point where right now we should have a new mission packet. Like we just should. And that mission packet should, or the steamroller packet or whatever, that packet should be extremely different from what we've had recently, because Haley 2 can't, that you don't have to design missions or scenarios around her anymore. And the big one is you don't have to design scenarios around Denegra 2 anymore, because yep. those things have got smacked down pretty hard. I think everybody's, if that had come out or if there was a tease for it, I think that the stagnation comments would go away quite a bit, because it would be a big shock to this game system. But to have to sit here for another 6 months, I think, is kind of wearing people out, just because I think 2015 was a pretty decent year for War Machine in general. There's so much innovation in that year, which is another reason why I think that the stagnation comments kind of like bunk, is that EE and runes is like the big boogeyman of the scene. Like, that's just what everybody talks about in anything that kind of spams in the same way.
EE's the big one. I think people complain about runes.
The combination, though.
Yeah, maybe it's a combination, but I don't think runes is an unfair list.
It's been around for a long time. It's an extremely
common list, so people are sick of seeing it. But EE is more indicative of what people currently claim is an issue with War Machine.
It is, because it takes every... Because the thing is, runes has a really solid match set. Like, there are some things that totally fuck it in the ass. But everything that runes has a problem with, EE kind of fixes. And I think that's where you get this harmonious singing build between the two, where everything but, like, P-Scar is going to be really, really... a non-issue for you in general. So I think that's where the big issue comes with EE and runes. And that's, EE has kind of built the foundation for all of these other spammy lists. Like, how do I deal with 13 light war beasts? I'd throw 30 Bane Knights on the table. That's how I deal with it. So it just kind of goes from there. And then the big pig push to do, like, what is it, 14 lights or something like that. Yeah. So that's another way to combat it, because EE has no game against it, and Rune sure as shit doesn't.
Right.
So, like, that's a way to correct for it. But what once you...
Well, the balance is in...
You're correcting for wound spam with other wound spam.
Yeah, exactly. And you're just building more and more and more.
Yeah, and that's where the and that's also response to negativity, because...
The other thing, though, too, is the only reason why those two lists even can work is because of the Fury mechanic.
Mm-hmm, exactly,
because both they can EE do a lot of work. And the spam is... The Fury mechanic makes those so they are... That much devastating on that
EE more so because of Soothing Song. She gets to abuse that shit.
And it also corrects the inherent problem with Fury too, is that as the game goes on, Fury becomes a much worse stat to have, and Focus becomes a much more valuable one. But when you have 13 sources of three Fury, mm-hmm. It's immaterial at that point.
Right.
So the Hordes player is now doing the things to fix the problem with that they have with Fury, and it's just not... It can't echo through to the rest of the factions because they don't have the tools to fix it. I think the big thing is, when you're looking at innovation recently, you're starting to see, like, Gaspy 3 is being played more when he's been out of the conversation for so long, and Striker 3's been actually at some higher tables where he's been seeing. I think he's an amazing trolls drop. He just takes that list and bends it over. But I just don't think that the innovation is extremely visible at that point. Like, we don't have, I think it was John Finkel in Magic was like the innovator. Like, it was groundbreaking stuff. Everybody had their fingers on his pulse, because he was building new and innovative things to counter the things that have been in the game for a really long time. And we just don't have anyone who's really visible doing that. I think that's where the big problems come in when you're looking at stagnancy. So everybody thinks that this meta exists out there where every single game you're going to be like 33% EE, 33% P-Scar and Crix, and then the other 33% is going to be Fist or some other flavor of the year list.
A lot of the big... Ventgors too. Not some of them, like Will Pagani, will play any list. He'll rotate through factions faster than anyone to find what he thinks is going to crack the next meta. But a lot of the top players just stick to their one faction and just grind the same thing in the dust forever. Because it's when you build like all new armies, it takes time and money, so it's hard for some people to rotate around a lot as much, because it's a pretty high investment.
Yeah,
especially then the time investment to get things painted for a lot of the tournaments nowadays that want painted, so it adds a little bit of a challenge in that regard too.
No, I understand that point where you're trying to where breaking the meta like that is a little bit more difficult and tough to do. It just seems that there needs to be like maybe a brain trust out there that does it, but that doesn't mean that every you know, common Joe War Machine player should feel like the world's the whole game is stagnant, because like going to local tournaments, you can see tons and tons of different casters, and of course there's going to be people like me there who are dropping like more of their competitive lists, or you know, they're, you're going to see your piece scars every now and again. But like, I think there were at the Oshkosh event that we went to last week, there were two Denny 3 players. There was
I think there was three.
Yeah, three. Well, no, there were two. It's just that Travis thought that two people had my Denny 3.
Oh, okay.
But there were a bunch of different casters there that you wouldn't normally see. There was a piece of Varius, and it wasn't Harbinger that he was running, which you think you would see from Menoth. So on the local level, I think there's more variance. Madison's a good example, too. Like, I know Donald, one of our local Crix players, he's like all giddy about Morten Ebra out of theme and Black Ogre and boarding crew.
Locally I agree. I mean, locally, but I mean, when I think about like a competitive scene, I don't even think Madison. I mean, I'm not gonna think Oshkosh is competitive. I'm talking much bigger con type of things. Locally, you're always gonna see a crazy diversity, because you're gonna have guys who love to push models around, come on the weekend, and you know, they just love this model. They want to play that weekend. I mean, they should play. That's, you know, that's their free time played in a tournament, but you just have your, like, you know, you have your two or three good top dogs and 16 to 20 casuals. I've gone to enough tournaments and enough local places to know, okay, that guy's a guy I got to beat. If I face him in round one or two, I know the rest of my day is a cakewalk, because I've gone through that. Now I'm just, you know, rolling over the guys who are just there to have fun.
Well, and that is I'll concede that that's one of the issues in competitive War Machine. And I think it also comes back to my point that there's no combo breaker in that set. I mean, you get pretty close with some, like, I think in the Invitational, which is a really, like, not great example, but, like, I think Jordan was Striker 3 and Haley 2. And Haley 2 isn't a big, like, surprise or anything, but Striker 3 being in that pairing,
I think Jordan's knocks one of his strengths is he is such a good player. He's always taken odder things. If what he did could be a thing most people could do, then I wouldn't complain, because he actually is at such a high level of play, he can take two random nonsense things.
Well, and that's kind of a thing. That. Somebody in the chat brought out the time it takes to practice a whole bunch of games in something like Magic. In Magic, I can play 20 games of Magic
exactly,
in a night.
I'll agree with that.
You could sat down on a Saturday and play Magic 20 times.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to play 20 games of War Machine, see you in a month. Maybe two, depending on how many games I can get in a week.
On top of that, some of the tournament players who kind of force the meta to be what it is, when I'm playing competitively, I can get in 30 to 40 games a month. I've gotten 50 casual games, 50 practice games in a month, not counting tournaments of practice. It's a lot of work, and I'm messaging a lot of people, and I'm setting up game nights three or four nights a week. When you go to a tournament or a big con, some guys in there have played 100 games a month, and then there's the 80-90% who've played, you know, four.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you have some of it. It's like there's almost like a pro league of people who just put in this insane work, and then there's the guys who are playing it for fun who play, you know, four games versus 40 games, and you put them in the same environment, and then the guys who play. Sometimes you get this weird. Those guys who play the 40 to 80 games are all like, "Look at how good I am." Well, there's only like 20 of you here who do that out of the 400 or whatever. So really, it's, you know, it's this weird separate thing.
Interruption. Is my microphone on? I'm not moving very much over there. Somebody said it sounded like I'm not active. No, I'm moving on that chart. Whatever. Travis might be crazy. All right. and the thing is, part of that practice is the people who know they can't get a lot of the practice in, then they end up just using those cookie cutter lists.
Exactly.
If everybody had the ability to have infinite practice games with the casters and the models that interested them, I think you'd see a lot more variety, because a lot of that stuff is good if you know what you're doing.
Yep.
You know, like, you know, my guy that I love Dr. Arcadius. And if you are a casual player and you pick up Dr. Arcadius, you will get raffle stomped by anybody, because he's really, really fucking difficult to use.
His learning curve is high.
He's got an incredible learning curve. I think that he's an amazingly good caster once you know what you're doing with him. And his new theme helped, you know, to ease that. Those are training wheels. Having Gorax and everything is a nice training wheels for you. But there's a learning curve there. And so for somebody who doesn't have time to take Midas or freaking whatever, Kara Sloan or some lesser play. You know, maybe Venithrax is fucking amazing if you tried him with every single model and fine-tuned him and got 1,000 games with him and broke him open. But until you do that, who's going to bother? Denny 2 is sitting right there, you know, or Star 1 is sitting right there.
Some casters can be have this, like, dangerous... Some casters have to be every turn within this, like, 2-inch spot of the map where they die. And if you play it a lot, you know, okay, I need to be in this 2-inch radius when I play a game. And other casters can be within a foot of their safety net or safety zone based on the caster is humongously different. You're right, Cadius has a very narrow play style. Not narrow, but he has a very specific way he can work really well. But man, he can die so easily, accidentally, a million ways if you don't know him.
Right. And why would you? Why if you're only going to get two or three games in a week, which for some people that's even a lot. Yeah, like some people come out to casual game night once a week and play one game.
Yeah.
So if you're going to play 50 games in a year, you have no hope of getting 100 practice games with a difficult-to-learn caster. So you're going to go on the internet, you're going to find a tournament-winning Haley 2 list, and you're just going to play that.
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of the stagnation. It isn't necessarily the game's fault. It's just that's the reality of a game that takes a long time to play.
I'm about to play Diablo 3 and then a new season. I play Diablo 3 about a month every season.
Yeah.
And I'm only going to play there's like 6 characters in Diablo 3.
Yeah.
Every season, one to three are good. Half of them are good, half of them are bad. I'm going to verify which ones are good before I play, and I'm not going to pick one of the bad ones because my Diablo time is very limited. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure I'm kicking ass in that very limited mm-hmm. time. So that's kind of in War Machine when I play, I can make the time, but you know, so I get that concept for someone who only plays. I mean, for me, I mean, people that get married, that have kids, that have jobs, that work too much. I mean, that's all like their faults. To get in the way of their War Machine.
Stupid decisions.
Yeah, those are stupid decisions. You can't, how can you, you know, stop? Did you see,
side note, in the PG forum, there was the discussion like, what are you looking forward to in 2016? Yeah. And one of the PGs was like, oh, you know, my first child should be born like in another week or two. I'm also looking forward to having a lot more time to play War Machine. It's like, no sane person has said those two things back to back before.
Yeah.
Now, even though I still will maintain that the game itself isn't so stagnant, on the competitive scene, I can see where you would get that just because it is easier to play the competitive lists. I will say that I am a proponent of a big change to the rules. Not so much that there needs to be a whole flip on its side, but a lot of things need to be fine-tuned. And my biggest issue right now is that releases come out, and they are really cool when you see the model and you're like, oh yeah, this might be cool here. But after it like settles for a week or two, it really seems like some of those are just really lackluster releases. Like there are I think in the last book, Scorn probably poo-pooed on a lot of their releases. So I think that especially when you're looking at things like the Dunian Knot and Doomshaper 3 and Croak Raiders, like you're looking at these amazing, amazing models that are just, they sing with a lot of other factions and a lot of other lists, but then you look at your stuff and you just don't understand, like, it was the same person designing these or something. I think that there needs to be some kind of balance in how they release things instead of, like, here's something that's an A-class or an S-class thing, and then trickling something down to, like, your Zal, where it's, like, a C-B-class. I think that the big thing that I've always liked about the game was that I could tell someone that they could look at a model, and if they liked the way it looked, they could buy it and it would work on the table in some way, shape, or form. But I don't think I can do that anymore.
Oh, you couldn't do that before. You couldn't tell somebody that if they really like the look of sluggers, would you really recommend sluggers?
I think in the past, there's always been a small percent of really bad miles or things that weren't. Well, again, it still comes on the percentage thing. I think for a long time, you could still play a wider berth, and now I think it's just
it's more limited. I think the trickle down mechanics from the stagnation from basically a lot of the top podcasts out there basically preaching that this game is bad has also gone down into the more of the casual guys too, because they listen to these podcasts, they hear about this game, so that affects them in the local meta as
Jim
well.
Jim was playing against Nate in a game of Lord of the Rings at Pegasus a month ago, and some random guy came in and was just spouting podcast drivel about why War Machine is bad. And Jim was so amused by it because, I mean, it was just some random dude in Pegasus. And that guy didn't know Jim, and Nate hasn't played War Machine in, you know, a couple of years now.
Nate.
Yeah, different yeah, Nate. Yeah, Nate Heinz.
Yeah.
The Nate we miss.
He was a good Nate.
He was a good Nate. Yeah. But he's random dude comes up with doesn't even play it Wednesday night with our community, comes in and Pagans, you know, just spouting off, you know, the random podcast stuff, you know, verbatim pretty much. Which is just kind of amusing.
Yeah, I mean, the other things I hear about comparisons too is comparisons to GW, and this
and there's no like when I stopped playing GW games, I stopped for a lot of reasons and in deep frustration. Like I feel that Privateer Press, I mean, End of Mark 1, the game was a little off the rails in my opinion. I think everyone agreed it was a little off the rails.
Yeah, really.
And I just and they readjusted, and I think the company's good about that. And I think we're gonna see changes, and I think they're gonna make things better. I just need to step away and not just try to stay in this negative zone and just fester in it while like, I wait for it.
Oddly enough, I think what made War Machine so, what am I trying to say? What makes War Machine so attractive also might be part of the reason why people are so quick to doomsay about the stagnation is that it was, depending on how you feel right now, so tightly balanced competitively compared to something like a GW game that you live and die by the balance. Like, Warhammer can be unplayable garbage. And it doesn't matter because if you like orcs and you just like throwing fistfuls of dice and your orcs are stomping into each other, you don't care. Because nobody in their right mind picks up Warhammer to have a competitively balanced game. You know, you pick it up because you and your friends like orcs and dwarves and you like smashing them into each other, and don't those models look pretty? And so it's not going to fail the same way. And so because the War Machine is built on being competitively balanced, it can die by being not competitively balanced.
Yeah, so maybe that gets to the point of, like, maybe the scales are tipped a little bit too much in one. Like, they couldn't do the balancing act anymore.
Maybe. I mean, you know, this could be... If this is a stumble, you know, if this is the person on the balance beam leaning and adjusting and then they get both feet back on, that's fine. I mean, you're never going to have something that's flawless for its entire lifespan.
Correct.
And this game's been around for, like you said, over a decade.
Yeah.
It stumbled a bit towards the end of Mark 1 and got crazy off the rails, and they fixed the shit out of that. Yeah. I mean, Mark 2 was amazing.
Coming from Mark 1, too. I mean, Mark 1 was good, and then they came out with the remix, which fixed a lot of the issues that they were having. Slowly trailed off to the end of Mark 1, and then Mark 2 just really streamlined everything. Yeah. I mean, I don't think in the current cycle that we're in right now that we're anywhere close to what the end of Mark 1 was. We have some of that creep, but not. I don't think we're at that stage of the end of Mark 1.
To me, I don't think this will have to go on longer before I'm willing to call it stagnation, because don't forget, like, for a while, high defense infantry were breaking the game. I mean, shit like Iron Flesh Kayazi were just impossible to kill, and people were talking about how the game was being ruined by that. And now it's double warders under the stone are impossible to kill, and people are complaining about that. I mean, it goes in cycles, and by its very definition, if it's changing every couple years what's broken, well, that's not stagnation.
Well,
but if the armor and womb stand sticks around for another year or 2 years, I mean, then that's undeniable.
Well, the other challenge is sometimes a cycle was challenging for a few months, and now everything that's becoming more challenging is becoming challenging longer and longer.
Yeah.
It's not just like, okay, that's... And it was kind of exciting when we got a new book and we got a new steamroller. Okay, now things are out of whack for a little bit, but it was kind of a neat out of whack while we were readjusting. But then when something's out of whack for extended periods of time, then like, I just feel like we've had this current level of same stuff with one or two lists sneak in, but one or two lists out of hundreds of combinations doesn't break the mold. It just adds one or two more options to add to the stagnation.
Yeah. What would you think about... all steamroller using masters ADR rules.
I think I like specialists more than ADR. I think ADR is neat for the new format they got going, the champion format. I think it's kind of cool.
But that's mandatory. Your casters must be. What if all steamroller was ADR optional, but you got specialists for doing, you know, like masters?
It was specialist and it was for every caster, not just a list of casters, I would like that. I think if you could have specialists, you could just make your two lists and your specialist was a thing, and you didn't have to like be one of four casters. I like that option.
But wouldn't that solve the stagnation? I mean, then you'd still just bring EE and Rune and just have Lightning Troll versus Pyre Troll as your specialist. Like the thing that the ADR does is it forces you to play Gunbjorn, or, well, I guess with Glacier Kings, that's no longer a punishment, but it forces you to play, you know, whatever.
But if you, that's, it's an intriguing option as well. I mean, I don't think in the current format, I think until they look at like all these FA unlimited stuff and all the armor spam stuff. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying I don't have solutions either. I'm not trying to like say they need it. Because that's the thing, podcasts like, well,
the game is bad, and this is how you're supposed to beat. You know, a lot of it's like not only is the game bad, but here is what you have to do to make it better. And it's not that gets kind of old too, is having to listen to people rant how what their solution is, and that's the only acceptable solution, because they're sending it to fail, because then people make a change. Well, it wasn't my change I told you I should do.
Yeah, so, especially making it so my solution is the number one solution. Yeah, that's not true.
Yeah, they're discounting your problems too. Like I don't think that's a good way to do it either. But I think one of the big pushes to making things more interesting when they come out is when we actually get solid rules for champions. I really wish that we didn't have to wait another 6 months for champions to be laid out and solid, because I'd really like to be able to do champions like before the lock and load thing comes around, because I think a limited format
just
really
get me drunk.
Okay, that shouldn't take very long.
That was a joke. Kick me out of the judge program.
I'll get you on your Fallout Twitch.
just a random Fallout Twitch. And the champions, you got the barbatry.
Fuck you, Deathclaw. So there's the rules for champions in full. Also, the next three are auto.
This next drink brought to you by Brian Kerr. Well, I think that's a good solid fix to like some of the, or like a band-aid to some of the problems. Like your Masters and Iron Gauntlets are still going to have those issues of taking the power lists and the power players doing their power thing. But like for the smaller metas that are trying to, like, they exist in this weird world of like competitive but not competitive, which I think Madison's more along the lines of, I think that the champions format could really save a lot of those stagnation issues.
I'm also intrigued at the concept of instead of forcing two lists, let it be three lists, but not three lists each list, not like three lists equal D and C. I think sometimes what was always cool for the longest time is one thing that I liked that made me feel good about the game is I could take two quasi balanced lists to handle the various varieties out there. And now I feel I have to take two kind of crazy lists to deal with the craziest things out there. And a lot of it's chicken, where maybe in the past my two balanced lists could handle 95% of the stuff. And then there's that weird guy who brought the crazy thing that just got by me, but whatever. But that crazy thing wasn't likely because it wasn't overall competitive, but it was just that thing that existed that could fuck me. Mm-hmm. And now I feel I have to take two lists, I guess, account for this crazy. I mean, there's always like the cricks thought of it. There was always like, you know, worry about cricks with one list, and the other list had to catch kind of the catch all of everything else. But I feel now there's so many things you have to catch because the game has expanded, which is cool, but now there's all these things. So now you can't have two normal lists. You have to have two crazy lists to kind of get in this crazy list chicken nonsense, mm-hmm. where if you had more lists, at least maybe you'd have more list chicken craziness, but at least you'd have a list you felt could handle more things necessarily. But then you get these formats where, well, it's three lists, but now you have to play each list once or twice, and now you get stuck again. It's like, because when you force...
Lock is never enjoyable.
Yeah, list lock is dumb because there are those matchups that are really bad that you have to kind of balance against, and list locking you just get stupid matchups. Mm-hmm. And some could say, well, that's interesting. Well, no, it's not, because there are just certain things. Oh, in hospital with a caster versus someone who can't handle Pathfinder or whatever. That's not interesting.
Keith bemoaned one time at Gen Con that he was playing Crix and it was three lists, and one of his three lists was more Nebra, and he played against Crix every round.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, okay. Guess who sucks against Crix?
Yeah.
Well, it was kind of the same thing with me, and even in the Oshkosh tournament, I was my two casters was Ron and Vyros 2, and if I was locked where I had to take Ron, my opponent could have just taken Severius.
Yeah,
and I'd be how do I kill him with my Ron?
Severus is running around. He's doing a little dance in the middle of fiends. Severus is having.
I guess battle mages go up and punch him.
Yeah, they charge him, which would be hilarious.
I've been on the receiving end of a charge of the battle mages. There's a reason that Theme Force is called Charge of the Battle Mages. Yeah. They are surprisingly scary in melee.
But and I said Privateer Press is pretty smart. They'll come up with some solutions. I guess it's
I could see a 2.5. I mean, I could easily see a War Machine Mark II remix. I could easily see something like that. And even the last errata that came out was almost a remix by itself. Because
are getting bigger and bigger, and they're approaching the game, which is cool. I think that's amazing. It is also frustrating that I think they're changing their plastics around. They're doing some stuff with their models. But, man, the delay it takes for some of their models to come out is just get
it is frustrating.
The fact that we have Colossus from the last book not up, we have Gargantuan's out, models from the book before that War Machine book still not out.
You don't need your two scoops, yeah. Crix Jack.
I mean, there used to be the occasional weird model that just got lost in limbo that you figured there was some mold problems, and it was like that one model had a problem Bombardiers. Or whatever. Yeah, Bombardiers, exactly. The one you
or the Desters.
Desters thing, as well.
But now it's like it's just so much, and it just gets a little frustrating.
Crix going a year without getting a model was one of the biggest standout things. That's a
weird
things.
Thing. In that company, one thing, well, Privateer Press, as good as they are, they get weird tight-lipped about certain things, and that's sometimes they refuse to like, address those kind of things publicly for whatever reason. They're afraid. I don't know. It's odd sometimes how they act.
Yeah, I mean, like,
tell comparison, us why you killed Monster Apocalypse.
Yeah.
The comparison of, like, the Reliance release to the Grolar's release to the Inflictor's release to probably the Inditer's release, which no one... I know Protector doesn't care about it, but it's going to happen sometime. Yeah. But I agree with you that could also be part of the stake.
Inditer. Yeah. That guy looks amazing. Protector doesn't care about him?
No, they don't because it's not a Reckoner, and it's... Yeah.
That thing has got Banshee wailing all the goddamn time, too. It's like, what? Really?
Yeah, I think it's a neat Jack, and that's besides the point. But
okay,
ooh, that's a positive to point into this too. It sounds like that Malifaux is having the exact same production issues as what Privateer is having with their plastics because of China.
Yeah.
So
well, there we
it's,
go.
It's good to know that it's not just Privateer, at least, that it's other companies.
Well,
no
one gives a fuck about Malifaux. So if Privateer Press is having some same problem with some dinky little Malifaux company, Malifaux is just, you know, there has been wannabe skirmish, you know, Guild Ball esque stupid little side thing.
Remember when people cared about Malifaux?
Yeah, that was adorable. Oh, yeah.
Adorable. If you want to, that week was great.
The picture perfect thing of like what not to do with your game is with that company.
Yeah.
That's bad.
They do make pretty models.
Their models look really nice, and that's why they really appear to neck beardy jerk off people. But like, I still have this is my small Guild Ball rant. But like, I heard through the grapevine, and I could be completely wrong on this because I don't read the rules. But like, they kind of have the same setup that turned me off to competitive Malifaux. Is that when you started a game with Malifaux, you didn't tell your opponent your list. You didn't have a list. You had your faction, your whole fucking faction. And then they were like, oh, well, I play this faction. Then you build your list. There's one faction in Malifaux that's completely built to fuck over every single faction. Like, it has specialists that screw factions. And that was a problem. But I'm sure there were power levels that made it different, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But Guild Ball kind of runs the same way. And I feel like for people saying that it's extremely balanced, it's probably got a handful of models, and that's why it's balanced. In 2 years, I don't think it's going to be like that. But that's just my mini rant of why I think it's comparatively going to be a bad problem or bad problem down the line.
But there's new Blood Bowl models on the way.
I know. That was it's the death of Guild Ball. New Blood Bowl is coming out. Ah, it's done.
I'm excited.
What was the point of Blood Bowl 2?
What do you mean? For the PC?
Yeah, what was the point?
New revamped graphics updated, new league things, I think, campaign stuff.
They also added a new team as well. The Bretonians are in there.
All
right. It still has less teams in Blood Bowl 1, but it'll eventually have as many.
Yeah, it's basically just a revamp on the engine that ran it. I still have
Blood Bowl, so I didn't feel a need to buy it.
You don't need to.
You and I still have to play our league game.
Yes, we do. That now we're looking at a year old for that. Because I think it was a football season last year.
Probably was.
But no, they have released two new models for the new Blood Bowl for Games Workshop Specialist Games, and they look pretty awesome. I'm excited to see actual official Games Workshop done models for Blood Bowl rather than
that it's not like the 1980s. We put some putty together and made a face.
Well, like they made up a couple new models for it. They had a human team. They had Skaven, some of the new star players that were done there by Allie Morrison. I'm excited because, I don't know, it's
Blood Bowl. Because it's fun and new and interesting.
Yeah.
But I think to get back to War Machine Point and close it up for me at least, is I think Privateer Press has the tools to change things to make it so people don't feel that stagnation anymore and don't have the complaints about the game. Because I feel like eventually Privateer Press could very well have a perfect game if they just follow some of those points. Like, I don't know if I can even give out like exact examples of what they need to fix, but I know there's things that need to be adjusted to a point where I think they could end up with something very perfect. Right now, I just think there are some things that need to be changed, but it's not because the game's stagnant. I think it's for a completely different reason. And the people who just scream stagnancy, War Machine shit, they need to reassess the situation and take their emotions out of their assessment.
Mm-hmm. Emotions are the best!
and do what Brian does. And he looked at it more.
When I'm the mature one, you know you're all fucked.
I know, that's bad. It's a bad world. So that's my point of I agree with you and disagree with you at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on the same level. I also owe myself $5 because I bet that it was what you were going to say.
So we're all going to play Guild Ball now, right?
No, we're going to play Blood Bowl when it comes out.
Okay.
So this is going to be a callback to our first topic of the day. I was looking through the tweeters to find if we had Zupel Grobbles. And
Zupel Grobbles? Is that what we're calling it now?
Yeah, so I came across a tweet where this guy says, "Today I learned the plural of armed black person is thugs.
Yeah.
The plural of armed brown person is terrorists. The plural of armed white person is militia."
My comment on that was, or patriot.
Patriot.
Because they were calling for all patriots to stand up with them.
Oh, yeah. God damn it.
I hate people so much. I always say, like, individually, I like people like you guys are like. But, like, as a civilization, if every human being died, I would be so happy.
Just 80%.
No, I'm fine with wiping out everything. I don't want to be the guy who picks the 80-20%. I'm fine.
I wouldn't pick. It can be random.
No, well, I mean, that'd be interesting, too. I mean, you know, I'd be fine if it was completely random, because that'd be pretty
just
interesting.
Just like left behind. Just 80% of people just vanished. Yeah.
But,
except none of my friends. Except Glenn.
Yeah. Wait, you want Glenn to stay or go?
Yeah.
All right. Are we going to? We have Zappy Grumble time.
Yeah, there's kickoff in 42 minutes.
We have that mountain from Green from last
year. Yeah, too bad.
That was last year.
Yeah. Whatever. We can lightning round that.
No, let's not. Let's just do a couple of those and get in the recommendations and be done.
Okay, because the one I saw on Twitter was, "What's everybody's favorite Star Wars game? Board game, video game?"
I'll go first. Ha! Sorry. I like the original West End Games Star Wars role-playing game.
The one where when you had dark side points, it was really, really good.
Yep.
You might turn, so the first thing you did with a new character was just shoot a nun in the face and then be nice for the rest of the game.
Well,
you couldn't turn to the dark side with only one point, but that one point made you really good.
Yeah, I liked how that system interacted as a storytelling element, how it matched the movies. Like Luke had a dark side point that he used to pull the lightsaber away from the Emperor to attack Vader. And spent another one just beating Vader down, in a sense.
He was grumpy.
He was pretty upset.
Don't talk about his sister.
Yeah.
She's a good kisser.
Sister. But I really like that. I didn't play it as much as I should have, but I like that role-playing game.
It's a good system.
I'm all over BioWare's first sweet talk moment with me with Knights of the Old Republic. That game was amazing, and it still is. I bought it on sale with Steam, even though my computer just decided to take a shit on me. I think it's full of flock and
paint. You can get it on phone and tablets now, too.
I know I saw that, but I was like, I don't know if I'm ready to go just in that round yet. I'm kind of like an old man in that sense.
I got Final Fantasy III for my iPad, and I played it like an hour at a time for like a couple weeks, and then I realized Final Fantasy games, you can't play it an hour at a time and accomplish anything. So I stopped playing it, and I was sad.
Was that 6?
No, it was Kafka 3. I only referred to them as the American 3. Okay. Fuck the any other thing. We're in America. Okay. Fucking, I'm a patriot.
Because you had...
And I kind of think, like, God damn, where they came in. Fucking America!
That's too many syllables.
I know, I felt bad about saying it that way.
Yeah, that was all four enunciated.
Of them. I know. But I was so angry, I forgot to not enunciate.
America! Pew, pew! News stories tomorrow. Brian Hostley takes over a local GameStop for trying to sell him Final Fantasy.
When I was a kid in the local bowling alley where we would go to Fish Fries, they had the wireframe Trench Run arcade game from Episode 4.
The old Star Wars?
The graphic, it was literally wireframe, and so sometimes like a post would be coming, you couldn't tell if it was... That was the outside of a middle post or the outside edges of an upper and a bottom post, and so you'd ram straight into it because it's all fucking wireframe see-through.
Yep.
I played a lot of that game.
I may have to agree with Kerr on the Knights of the Republic.
I mean, that's one. The right answer.
That is an amazing game.
Answer.
It is the right answer. Two is almost good. Two is pretty good, except for the end. It gets a little rough.
But. Star Wars Dancing with the Kinect for the Xbox 360.
I've played some old-fashioned Star Wars chess, which was pretty amazing back like in the late 90s, which was pretty ridiculous.
There's a...
And he actually, his role-playing one is pretty good.
Yeah.
Shadows of the Empire for the old Nintendo 64 was pretty cool.
Board game-wise, I think the new Imperial...
Imperial Assault.
Is so... That's
Lego Star Wars Original Trilogy.
That was pretty good.
I like the Lego games.
Lego Star Wars is pretty
good. The Lego games too. Are all great.
They've made some.
Yeah.
Imperial Assault is a fantasy flight. There's a board one and there's a space one. I always get to, there's the one with the death when you play the Imperial ships.
I want to say it was.
Armada?
Armada. Yeah. Armada. That's Armada. Not Imperial Assault actually is too flawed to be great.
Yeah, I know you were digging on that
one. Imperial Assault is. I've only played it a little bit, but my God, it is beautiful.
Armada, you mean?
Armada is beautiful.
Okay. Yeah, that was the one I found on Twitter. I didn't find any on our Feeble.
The one, the Princess Leia dance game is pretty good, too. That might have been a dream.
Yes.
And it was current Princess Leia. It was still good.
You had to work the joystick a lot in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, just playing with myself count as a Star Wars game.
I won that one.
Just taking our dining room chairs and putting them on their back and then sitting on the back of them with their back up against the seat so that the four legs are sticking out behind you and pretending it's the cockpit of an X-Wing counts as a Star Wars game.
The old Atari.
Because I did that a fuckload when I was a
kid. The old Atari game, you just fought adds until you died.
Yeah.
You just, like, there's never an end. It was nonstop adds. No matter how many you killed, it just eventually you died.
Yeah, that game was somewhat fun.
It was,
and it only gave you one harpoon cable, too. Because I remember you could only do that once. With the harpoon cable?
It was very limited. I played a lot of that game.
All right, so what's this marathon? Hit us with some green stuff.
I don't want any of
this. I don't want to participate in any of this.
I
don't?
No. BWA is always a benefit.
4, 3, 2, 1. Is it wrong to wear I support Ben Solo t-shirt?
No.
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 No. Good or bad idea, new Lego collection based on Vin Diesel movies?
That's a bad idea, I think.
Yeah. Iron Giant, I support it.
No, the thing is that when you think of Vin Diesel movies, you don't immediately
pacifier.
You think of.
I would love a Lego set of that. It's covered in poop. It's like, ah!
Yeah, I'm supporting the shit out of this. The pacifier, the tooth fairy.
That was the that Rock. Was Dwayne Johnson.
They're not the same person?
No.
Oh.
One's from Hawaii.
Yeah,
one's from space.
Pacifier, Iron Giant, the Fast and Furious thing.
The one where he's a fat mobster?
Yeah. The yes. Let's do it. Scorpion King.
Zappity grumble. Does Santa have special elves that make sex toys?
Probably. Yeah, I saw a picture about that one.
Really?
Dildo Baggins.
That's not an elf, that's a hobbit.
No, it was an elf making dildos. And the other guy was like, oh, that's a great job, elf person, making the Gandalfs. And then he screams over to elf person two and says, how are the Bilbos coming? And he's got a table of dicks.
Because he misheard. Ah, wackiness.
So they have the technology.
We can make him stronger?
I get it because it's not
Bilbo. Yeah. I hate it. I hate it when I actually have to read things twice and then have to try to formulate the sentence in my head to try to say it. Best way to cruise for Lady White Van and Candy or your shiniest Huffy?
Oh, the Huffy, man.
Huffy, yeah.
With the spokes on the back so they can stand exactly. on there.
Yep, and if you have a little basket on the front, but it's like a masculine basket, I think it works.
Oh, sorry. For some odd reason, I combined
your lady white van.
The lady white van. Yeah. Like, that made no fucking sense.
There needs to be some punctuation in there.
Punctuation. Lady white van. And candy. Lady white van and candy. That's a new detective mystery series. Like Jake and the Fat Man. It's Lady White Van and Candy.
I keep on thinking of the Family Guy thing with Jake and the Fat Man. With the Fat Man just sitting in a chair going,
is that a clue?
This cigarette's got lipstick on it. Can you bring it over?
I don't get it.
He was fat.
Yeah, oh. He was fat.
No, it's
he was like, I'm not gonna taint this crime scene. He's like, oh, and he just falls asleep. That's the Fat Man. Zappity. What are the odds that one of you guys is wearing women's underwear?
94%.
Zappity. Best or worst Christmas gift, Star Wars spoilers. We already went over Star Wars.
Yeah, we blew that case wide open.
Yep. Actually, that was a retweet from the 20th of December, the favorite Star Wars video board game.
Ah, fancy. Yep. Answered. You're welcome.
Yep. Is pie better than cake?
Yes. I love cake, but fuck cake. Pie.
Have you seen the cake pie?
Yes.
Yeah.
It'd be better if it was just pie.
I'll go with pie being the winner.
I think I like cake more than pie. I also like ketchup. I'm on the podcast. I'm watching it. And the guy doesn't cut it in and out. And all I can cut between the in and out is you insulting ketchup. And I can't get to the feed. I was busy because I didn't come here. And I was like, I almost drove here anyway just to walk and punch you, pour ketchup all over you, and then leave.
Sorry. I was really close to posting something on Facebook for you. It was a video of like some Chinese, like, or Japanese, Korean, something, a yellow person, doing like fan porn, and she was just like swimming in a tub of ketchup, just like pouring it all over herself and all over a French fry. But I didn't want to insult you by making your friends see that, thinking that that's what got you going.
How attractive was she?
She was a 9.
See, then the ketchup's ruining her. You start with like a 4 or a 5, the ketchup brings it up. That's its strength.
I don't know. It's all right, I guess. I don't know.
Everything needs ketchup.
Might have got hungry.
Anyway.
Does your cake need ketchup?
Okay, fine. That's one thing. Well, maybe the flavors. But anyway. Sorry. That was in me for a week or two. It needed to come out.
He needed to release. Now he needs a cigarette.
That's it. That's all I saw on here, and that's all I'm going to...
Anything new in chat?
Someone's who's in blue? Who's talking all the time?
That's Nick.
God damn it,
non-Euclidean Nick.
Yeah. Thank God you said it, because I would have messed it up.
I don't know what that means.
Euclidean geometry is like the rules of our universe with how things are shaped. So non-Euclidean things are shaped like a.
I'm so bored. I don't care anymore.
A Klein bottle.
God.
A Klein bottle.
You're like, you're full of useless information.
Do you know a Mobius strip?
Yes.
So a Mobius strip is two-dimensional that's wrapped so that it only has one face. The Klein bottle is a three-dimensional version of a Mobius strip. So it's almost like a bottle, and it goes, its spout opening is also an opening on the bottom because it intersects through itself. You can get actual Klein bottle beer steins if you're a nerd.
I thought
those are non-Euclidean.
I thought he just did that Get Busy Child song.
What?
The Mobius, yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I got
isn't,
it.
Isn't Mobius?
Moby.
Is it Mobius a vampire?
Yes. No, Mobius is Neo's friend in The Matrix.
He's also the new Bile Thrall commander that's coming out
no,
soon.
No, he's also a vampire.
Yes.
And he gives
from,
him red
from Marvel. He's in Doctor Strange, I
the
think.
The new Bloat Thrall solo is a vampire from The Matrix.
Yep.
Who does music.
That does music, yeah.
Do we have recommendations?
I have recommendations. I already know that Brian's going to yell at one of mine.
I have one. You can go. I'll let you go first.
I wanted to do the podcast last week, but we had people sick and people dropping out on us. So.
I didn't want to put on pants.
Yeah. So this was supposed to be for last week. I recommend Making a Murderer.
Oh.
It's a Netflix documentary. It's about a guy who was wrongfully convicted of a rape.
You don't know he was wrongfully convicted.
The first one he was.
He was wrongfully convicted of a rape back in early 80s. Spent 18 years in jail. Was released. I believe almost less than a year later, suddenly was convicted or was accused of and then convicted of a murder that happened on his property.
I applaud those police for the second one because they searched his small home for like 4 days, but they kept at it.
8 days.
8 days, but they kept at it until they suddenly found a lot of incriminating evidence. Yes. If they'd given up within that first week, he'd still be walking free. Day 8, they were like, oh, oops, found a bloody gun, and everything worked out great
for them. They found a set of keys.
Yeah.
A set of keys, and then... And then after they've searched his entire property, they came back 4 months later, searched his garage again after they've already done that before, and then found a single bullet.
Oh, see? Good on them.
Good on
them. For keeping at it.
I saw a prosecutor. I saw multiple things of it, but the part that did make me laugh was the prosecutor is like, you know, police would only put evidence on a crime scene if they believe the guy was innocent. They wouldn't. They wouldn't. I mean, he was guilty. They wouldn't. They wouldn't just put evidence on an innocent person's place. The cops truly believe he was guilty. So then, if planted evidence just helps them along, that's not a problem. It's just, you know, they wouldn't plant evidence on an innocent person. They would only plant evidence on a guilty person.
Yeah,
they, that, well, that made me laugh.
You know, like 80% of innocent people will confess.
Yeah, if they're pressured. Like, the, basically, the biggest problem I have is his nephew. His nephew has an IQ of like 75.
Yeah,
I mean, he is extremely slow of a person. As they're going to have the whole, pretty much the whole interview, as they're interviewing him for a confession, they're feeding him information step by step throughout this whole thing.
The
best
part of that is the guy feeds him like four or five things. Like, didn't you think it was weird that lady was there? The bus driver thought it was weird. Your friends thought it was weird. This guy thought it was weird. You thought it was weird too, didn't you? I mean, I'm not putting anything in your head, but you thought it was weird, didn't you? It's like, oh, okay, just saying that line magically makes it so that you aren't.
Yeah, it's
weird because the guy is white. that's the part that made me, because I mean, they tell all this time putting a white guy in jail.
Well, the main thing, which I can see the motivation behind the officers, I don't think the officers killed her. I don't think they did that.
No, but
I think somebody else killed her, and then they basically helped that person maybe have him take the fall. But
I don't think they helped that person. I think that, because that implies that they knew the person or something and were persuading. They just had no fucking idea. 90% of the time, if the police are going to frame somebody, it's because they have nothing. True. On anybody. And maybe they do have one tiny lean. Like, well, this guy maybe kind of, I guess it's possible. Fuck it. Let's go with him. And then they just throw it all on top of that guy because they need something.
Another great motivation to do this type of thing, too, is that all the officers that were involved in this investigation that also found all the quote-unquote incriminating evidence were also named into a giant $36 million lawsuit that was brought about him for the wrongful conviction that he had. So that seems like that would be a good motivation. If I'm being sued for $36 million and I could possibly make it so he seems...
Because he settled for, what, $400,000?
He had to settle for $400,000 so he could actually pay for his defense, which unfortunately did not work at all. It's so sad watching this because you kind of feel hope for the guy throughout the entire process. And yeah. I may have just given away the entire series, but it anyway.
I wish it wasn't as long as it was. I think it could have been a little bit shorter.
Yeah.
My only statement.
I think because it went so long, I think it feels like that they're presenting more of the actual evidence that happened. Supposedly the prosecutor jumped online afterwards and said that they missed some important stuff too. Yeah. And like what did they miss?
And the important stuff he mentioned was like nothing.
Yeah,
like, I wore a blue tie one day. Like, okay, buddy.
Yeah, it's a very compelling documentary.
A lot of people have watched it locally because it takes place in Wisconsin, so that has gotten like more of an appeal locally. It's also like when you open Netflix, it's like the big thing that pops up on Netflix right now.
Well, it's some weird. It's not the Ridiculous Six anymore.
No, God no.
anything else with your recommendation?
No, that's it. I really, really like that documentary. It was pulled me in.
I'm going to recommend Pandemic Legacy. Nathan and I and the
Ackers Revenge of Lil Bitch
are playing it. We've completed it. It takes place over 12 game months. In each game month, you have one or two chances to win it. We're like five. We've completed five of the months.
We beat May. We beat May. Yeah.
It starts off like a basic pandemic, and then the game just evolves based on like a legacy style game. You have all these like, you basically keep on opening up these envelopes as you play the game and kind of unlocking new things. It'll say, when this happens, open up envelope 4, and then open up this box, and this happens here, and you're like, holy fuck, I can't believe this is happening. So what starts out as a normal pandemic game slowly evolves into just insanity and fun. I mean, we've played five games of it back to back. On
Thursday night. New Year's Eve, we played five games of it.
I mean,
one of the games took 5 minutes.
We lost in turn six, which was amazing.
A four-player game, yeah. One and a half rounds. Like, we lost on player turn six.
They're missing such a big opportunity.
What?
for instead of having envelopes, why don't you have little vials?
Well, they're not envelopes. They're just cardboard things.
But they're cardboard boxes.
Yeah, I was just saying envelopes for the sake of. But vials would be also. Yeah. I mean, it'd be neat.
It's super expensive.
Expensive.
Well, the disposable games in general, like the Pandemic Legacy and Rick's Legacy, which unfortunately we never finished playing that. I wish we'd go back and do. I don't even know where my.
It's here.
It's
downstairs.
Yeah. I mean, we were enjoying Risk Legacy, the two games of it we played, I think, but Pandemic Legacy as well, and I liked the Time Stories game that I played at War Machine Weekend. Yeah, those disposable games are really cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really happy with our enjoyment. I mean, Pandemic Legacy is amazing. I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And you only need four people. It's not like you don't need a whole bunch of people.
Nope.
But you want to probably say it, but I mean, I think once you get those same four are going to go from the beginning to the end to see the game evolve.
Yeah, so you want to see it through.
I think it helps. I was going
to
say.
You could play with three, too. You don't need to play with four. A game is very well scalable.
Mm-hmm. I think it helps if everyone really likes that game as well. And it sounds like Pandemic is a more enjoyable game than Risk.
Well, maybe, but I'm not even. I'll be honest. Pandemic, I own like four versions of Pandemic, and I think it's an okay game. Legacy is just this whole other level of enjoyment.
If you hadn't played, like in my position, I'm trying to do one of these disposable games for the Baraboo folks. I am curious with Pandemic, if you haven't played it, would you think it would still be enjoyable as the Legacy version?
Yeah. Okay. It's the game is very simple to learn, the base game of Pandemic. And the issue I have with Pandemic is that the game is very boring because it's I would not want to play Pandemic many, many times.
No.
But the Legacy allows it to change and grow, and it makes it exciting every game you play. It changes a little bit, and they get the progress, and it just is so much more of an experience than just, let's play another game of Pandemic.
I would never play five games of regular Pandemic in a row.
Right.
Yeah. There's no scenario where I would want to do that. I would play one to two and be done for like 8 months.
That's I felt the same way during Risk Legacy. I have played through the full game before. And I hate Risk, but Risk Legacy was decent.
Yeah. Well, the map change. Like, I've seen people. When unfortunately, we only played a few games, but I've seen people's game boards for Risk Legacy. When you're like 8-10 games in, that map, everything is labeled. There's bunkers, there's cities. Mm-hmm. Everything just plays differently, and the rules don't radically change as much. But Pandemic, there's literally like you have stickers you put in the rulebook, and things are just constantly changing and evolving. Yep. And what was true last game is false this game, and then all these things happen. There are certain boxes you only open if you lose four games in a row, which we haven't yet, but I mean, with the way things are going, I'm surprised we haven't.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, we've never even lost two in a row.
No, we have lost a couple games. We
lost a couple, and one of them was hilariously brutally fast, and it was also like, yeah, it was like we're battling against Superman and the Green Lantern, and then just like Timmy from South Park punches us in the dick and beats us. Like it was just so bizarre how we lost that one.
It was fair. It was a very precise dick punch.
And it was deserved because we were overconfidence is a slow and insidious killer.
And effective.
Yes.
Yeah, so that is my suggestion. Play Pandemic Legacy if you have a group of three or four friends who, like I said, it takes between 12 and 24 sessions. I know Mike Parker, I think his group finished the game, I think, in four sittings. And so four weekends, they just dedicated days and they're done. For us, it probably take us. We'll finish sometime in January.
We have seven more months, yeah. And so if we play it every Monday, if we play twice, I mean, we have somewhere between 7 and 14 games to play.
Yep.
Yeah.
But sweet. I think it's very well worth your time.
Yeah.
Who's next?
I am going to do a follow-up recommendation because there's something that Brian recommended, this Brian, and I watched one season of it, and then I don't have cable, so I didn't watch the second season, but then the second season's on Hulu now, so I've started watching the second season. And if you are a nihilist, and if you like cringe death, not death, but cringeworthy humor where you're just like, oh my god, everything's terrible, like Curb Your Enthusiasm and Always Sunny in Philadelphia or The Producers, and you did not listen to his advice and watch Review, you should watch Review. Because Review is really, really good. Like, the second season...
Have you finished it yet?
I have not. Okay. I'm only a couple episodes in.
I can't say anything, then.
I have tomorrow. I can't either. I don't work until 3:30 on Tuesday. I will watch the entire second season by that time.
Man, you have a good day ahead of you.
I know. I would probably watch
also Goblins for kind money. Of cringe. You, and sometimes you have to pause and actually. You used to walk away sometimes.
Here's an example. One of the darkest jokes I've ever seen in television is in the opening credits as a throwaway gag in season two. Have you seen it at all? Or are you familiar with the premise of it? Mm. The premise, it pretends to be a real documentary, but the guy reviews real life experiences. So you write into him and you're like, review what it's like to go into space. So he goes into space and reviews what's like going into space.
Or
and
maybe, taking heroin or taking, whatever.
Yeah, becoming cocaine. Addicted to cocaine, you know, getting divorced.
Horse. Five stars!
Yeah, five stars! You know, like, yeah, the first season he got divorced because someone told him to get divorced. And so he didn't tell his wife why because that would ruin the integrity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in the opening credits, they show examples of various things and reviews. And one of the things they're showing is babysitting. And the clip is him guiding the police through an empty field looking for corpses.
And he's like, someone says over here.
Yeah, over here, over here.
Like baby star, like 1.5
Babysitting, 1.5 stars. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's I can't wait to. I'm gonna have to watch season two again so I can catch up and refresh it.
Blackmail, you know, he can't think of anyone to blackmail because he tries googling secrets nobody else knows that I can use to blackmail celebrities. And
his father's a bigger character in season two. So yeah, spoil it for you.
God. Yeah. What's it like to be a little person?
Yes. Yeah, they're not all necessarily terrible. Like some, the pancakes one that Brian loves so much in the first season is really not like as schadenfreude-y, but it's just, well, the second one, just because like the pancakes could not kill me because I was already dead.
Yeah, I just
mechanically shoving pancakes in his face.
Somebody also mentioned too is like Todd Margaret is probably one of his favorites.
Todd Margaret.
First season of Todd Margaret is the best. Second season is okay, but first season is so
any
good.
Season where it ends, spoiler, where the world basically is destroyed is always makes that show better.
Yeah.
And they, you know, end the world in that show. So
what was the name? It wasn't so Brando was in Idiocracy. What was the name of the stuff in
it was Thunder Muscle.
Thunder Muscle, like
Caution to Proceed.
Caution to proceed with beverage.
With beverage.
Caution to proceed with beverage. Nice. Yeah, if you like cringe humor and you didn't listen to Brian, you should have listened to Brian.
Yeah. Yep.
Makes sense.
And that actor, the guy who stars in that, is so good.
Yep.
Yeah.
His co-host is so subtly funny.
Yes.
I might give it a shot tonight then.
You'll enjoy it.
You will.
I'm actually going to rewatch all The Wrong Mans because I haven't seen that in a while, and it makes me sad. I can't quote that movie well enough, or that TV show well enough.
We, you know, you roll deep. You got that as a good quest. We roll deep. But
just watch review.
Watch review.
So for my recommendation right now, the War Machine and Hordes Painting Group has started a challenge for the 365 points at the end of the year, so a point a day painting challenge. And I got wrapped up in that, and I think if people are having an issue trying to get their stuff painted, if they want to go to some events where they might have painting required, which is so infrequent right now, I think that this is a good way to try and get you in a community that's going to help promote painting stuff. It's pretty legit. Right now, I've burned through in the first 3 days of the month my 31, and I'm working, I think... I'll end up having 72 painted of my own stuff by the end of the month.
Sure.
And with all of the other projects I have for everybody else, I think I'm going to be cusping at maybe 100 or 150. And I didn't even realize like that I paint that much in a month. It's ridiculous. What am I doing with my life? That's my recommendation.
Is what am I doing with my life? Yeah.
So should we have like a themed episode next week where we'll do like a... Kind of like a year
in review.
Or no, in preview. We'll talk about what we want to do in the next year. Fuck last year.
I don't plan things around calendar years, so I'm never fun for that.
Okay. I use the Jewish year.
You got to experience New Year's Eve exactly correct.
Yes!
For the first time.
Although Pitbull tried to fuck it up again.
Tried to fuck you up. It's just year after year, watching you fail at New Year's Eve has been a highlight.
It is pretty good.
I finally got it this time. Like the first time in almost a decade now, I actually got to do the countdown. But Pitbull tried to fuck it up because, see, I knew this time not to stay on Dick Clark's Rocking New Year's Eve because they don't fucking rewind, which is stupid. Like, why would you not do that?
What do you mean rewind?
So it used to be they'd show the ball drop live. okay? Mm-hmm. And then at about 12:30, they'd rewind to 11th. They'd go back and they'd show that half hour again. So we'd watch the ball drop. Now this time it's 1 hour delay, mm-hmm. but it's live for us. And then they'd do it again for the mountain time. And so they'd show that same footage of New York's ball dropping every hour, and you could count down with it, even though it was only live the first time. They don't do that anymore. So all they do is they show the ball drop live, and then come midnight our time, it's just an hour into the after party at New York, and they're just all dancing in the confetti. And it's like, what's the fucking point? I don't care about a bunch of New Yorkers dancing for an hour. I want to see the ball drop. So that's what bit me 2 years ago at the Shays house.
That was glorious. It's
fucking insane. Like, what? Whose programming decision was that? And so last year, Pitbull fucked me because he doesn't know how to count. And then this year, he tried to do it again, but apparently the producers were on top of that. Because, like, the countdown was going, and it was on, like, 5, and he was on 8. Like, how are you that far back?
Yeah, they had a huge countdown behind him. So you ignored what he was saying, just watched the actual countdown.
Yeah. That's pretty good stuff. Got it.
I brought it the New Year's by playing WoW with a friend.
Fancy enough, I was painting War Machine models.
I was awake. It was my big thing.
Yeah, because we just played 5 games of Pandemic.
Yeah.
And eating some good Papa Murphy's pizza.
Speaking of pizza, are you staying for the Packer game?
Maybe.
All right, we should get some pizza.
Okay.
We should call it now.
All right.
Okay. Does anybody have anything else?
No closing.
Nihilist Arby's is funny.
Nihilist Arby's is
good. Or what about Kylo Ren?
Emo Kylo Ren, of course.
Lonely Luke.
That has been the best thing to come out of Star Wars, is every emo Kylo Ren thing ever.
You know what's the most annoying thing that came out of Star Wars? Is the 2 years of fan theories we have to sit through.
Yeah, it's like the writing on
And they're all stupid.
They're all fucking
every
stupid.
Are we still broadcasting?
We're still broadcasting.
Every possible Rey origin story is stupid.
Yes.
Either Luke got laid. That's stupid.
Well, that can happen. I can see that happen. I mean,
people can have sex.
Yeah.
Jedi aren't supposed to.
Yeah, but sometimes they get lonely.
But that's fine. Either Luke got laid, which he shouldn't have, and it's way too obvious.
That's my thing, it's too obvious.
Or she's the reincarnation of Anakin Skywalker made pure with the Force and not from any person, which some people are banding about because that's
you fucking hurt my head. Don't.
That's stupid.
Oh, I haven't even heard that one.
Or she's Han and Leia's kid, like Kylo's sister, which is also stupid because you'd think Han would have reacted.
That's kind of where I was thinking of where, well, no, it could be a pregnancy that Leia kept from
Han? Maybe Leia didn't know either.
Maybe it was a Leia.
It was like that MTV show, like she pooped it out at prom and then they took it away to Jakku without telling her.
Yeah.
But I mean that could be the reasoning why she went to her immediately. If it was her daughter.
It's a Leia Luke baby.
To be fair, that's not a big deal if you don't think about it. Like you don't think about Chewbacca's life, because they don't ever say in the movies that Chewbacca has a life debt to Han Solo's family. I mean, right. It's a thing you know as a geek, and you know it's a big important thing. But as like a casual viewer, you go, oh, it's just Chewbacca. He's just there. You don't think that Chewbacca was probably there when Kylo Ren with Ben, when Ben Solo was born. He was probably there for their entire lives. You don't think about that because they don't. But it's obviously what was happening. So it should have been.
Can you imagine Kylo with like baby Uncle Chewie, you know, like just playing around with a little baby?
Did you see the thing online with how Han sees Chewbacca?
Yes. Oh, God.
Yeah. I want that.
Yeah. I would like that too.
I have one random Star Wars complaint at the end of the day with if the Mary Sue complaints is so offensively stupid, it's frustrating.
If Rey was named Roy and had a dick, nobody would have complained.
Yeah.
The what?
It's a Mary Sue, which is in a fan fiction. You know, if I write a Star Trek story and I talk about Ensign Nathan Hoffman and he's a super genius and he's super strong and he solves all the problems and Kirk wishes he was as cool as Ensign Hoffman, that's a Mary Sue. Is when the author, a terrible author, just takes themselves, puts them in there, gives themselves a big dick and muscles.
But it's typically a female character.
Twilight is the big example. Yeah. The character in Twilight is literally Stephanie Myers.
Sure.
Like, she's physically described exactly as Stephanie Myers. So this is obviously just her masturbatorial fantasy. And that's a Mary Sue. And yeah, people are saying that about Rey. She's too good at flying. She's too good at the Force. She's too good at sword fighting. She's just too good at everything. And that's just a Mary Sue thing. If that was a male character, they wouldn't have given two shits.
Luca adapted fairly fucking quickly in A New Hope.
See, he's just the protagonist, so he's good at stuff.
Oh.
She's a badly written Mary Sue.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Jesus Christ. All right, I'm done.
That's all I had. That's my life. I'm out of complaints. It's a new year. It's a miracle.
Yeah.
I'm spent. I quit.
Happy New Year.
Meh. Meh.